Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hypnotic Healers. My name is Nicole Mazzucato and as always, I'm here with my fabulous friend and co-host, Anthony Gitch. Our usual disclaimer before we get started, neither Anthony nor I are licensed medical professionals, psychologists or psychiatrists, so please do not make any changes or alterations to any medications or treatments you're on based on the conversation you hear here today. Take what you like and leave the rest, and while you're leaving stuff, you might as well leave us a like, a love, a thumbs up, an emoji of your choice, even the little poo smiley one will do. Leave us a nice review, share us around with your friends. Hey, you know, just... be cool, be kind. Welcome.
Hello. Yes, be kind.
I like the little smiley poo one.
I know. We've had that conversation before. I don't like emojis. I don't understand them. I never know which one is appropriate because it's like I send something to someone and they're like, oh my God, dude, do you know what that means? I'm like,
yeah.
No, why? What does it mean? They're like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, that's not what I meant to say to her.
Right. I thought it was an innocent vegetable.
God, no, I've never made that mistake. Oh, it's Happy New Year, sweetheart. It's the new year.
Yes,
early on in the new year.
Tis very early on in the new year.
Yes, and I've already began to approach things differently. I'm approaching my business differently. And not because it's like the new year, but just because of the timing of things and how I've been learning and when I signed up for these classes. But yeah, I'm going to be approaching my business a little differently this year. But what we're here for today, we're going to be talking about something today that we've talked about bringing up before, but we just have never gotten around to it. And so today we're going to cover it. And that is, Nicole and I are going to talk about the people who have inspired us to become basically the people who we are, or not inspired us to become who we are, but helped us along the way, maybe. Those folks who I know for me, who I'm going to be speaking about, she provided me with a lot of things in a lot of different ways, and it's why we're grateful for them, and why we are almost paying kind of a homage, a celebration of them, I guess, you know,
a celebration of the angels that have crossed our paths along the way.
Yeah, the things,
because we all have them, right?
We are absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
We all have those angels in disguise that just appear at the right time, give you what you need, and move on.
Yep. Sometimes, you know, it's like that old saying, you know, a reason, a season, or a lifetime. We've all had those teachers, those people that have created, you know, some of the people that have created the most amount of chaos and pain in my life are some of the people that I'm also most grateful to, because they taught me more about my resiliency and what I'm capable of overcoming and forgiving, right? And so, you know, it's interesting how with our own growth and development, we can look at things in a different perspective and you know, not carry that resentment. And it's not that we're grateful for what happened, but we understand it differently.
So as you're talking, I know you're a big fan. I just finished listening to Caroline Mace's book, Sacred Contracts.
Oh gosh. Yes. I teach about that.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed it. Actually, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the book. I enjoyed the talk, actually, because it was more her talking to an audience. So I know it doesn't go into as many details about archetypes and stuff as the written book does. But yeah, there was very much a chapter or a session in there that was talking about, you know, to fulfill the contracts, you have to go through what you have to go through, and rather than holding on to resentment to someone, you know, you look at them and you say, thank you for fulfilling that contract so that I could learn what I needed to learn and grow in the ways that I needed to grow. And that just rang for me. And it's not, you know, that's always.
That's who I learned that idea from. Let's be real. I mean, years ago, the person I'm going to be talking about today introduced me to Carolyn Mace, right? And the work of Carolyn Mace and sacred contracts and archetypes. And, you know, I talk about them in my book and I've talked about them with you before. That's awesome. I didn't know you were listening to that.
Well, I've just finished. Yeah, I love it. I'm really into my audiobooks, actually. I have been for the past couple of years. I was resistant for a long time. And now, because I move around so much, I'm like, I cannot buy another bloody book because they are heavy and they accumulate. And you have to find space for them.
I'm going to tell you the next one. I'm going to recommend one for you that I really think.
Oh, I've got like 25 books in my Audible that I need to listen to.
Because the power of now.
Yes.
Is that on your list?
I've got that audiobook. I haven't. Yeah. Okay. I tried reading it at different times in my life and just couldn't get into it properly.
I'll tell you what, listen to it. You know, I've got to tell you, honestly, the guy is, it is one of the ones that I have listened to.
For those of you that don't know, we're talking about Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, Eckhart Tolle. And a wonderful, wonderful teacher.
And I love listening to him.
Yes, the audiobook is great. I've tried reading his stuff and I'm like, oh my god, this is so dry. But when you listen to him, it changes it. That's one of my most listened to ones. On I've got an iPod that's an old iPod that is like falling apart, and I keep it because I haven't been able, for some reason I can't get that thing to transfer to my Mac. Because that audiobook is on there, and I listen to it almost every long drive that I go on, over and over again, because there's always something new I'll kind of catch and go, oh, that's right, I forgot about that. You know, I need to think about more about that and bringing that into my life. But right on. Anyway, do you know who you're going to be talking about today?
I can think of a few people. Definitely. Yeah, I can definitely think of a few people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have someone in mind. I don't know if I've talked about her before on this podcast. When I was at university, because I was doing what's called a single honors degree, we did a lot of extra courses. So I did a lot of courses in psychoanalysis and altered states of consciousness and all sorts of things like that, like really interesting stuff. And in the altered states of consciousness course that we did, our teacher, we had a session or a couple of sessions on shamanism, and our teacher was, you know, kind of teaching us about shamanism and journeying and things like that. And she brought in a friend of hers who was a shaman to journey with us. And we did this journeying. So she brought in her drums and we did this journeying. And I remember it being, you know, it was quite a really kind of nice experience. And she was this beautiful woman with these long gray dreads. I can't remember what her name was. And at the end, we were kind of talking about, you know, what had come up for us in the journeying and things like that. And then I really needed help at that point in my life. I was in a really, really, really not good place. And I was struggling to find people to help me. Because I think the traditional kind of medical route, I'd been to see different kind of psychologists and psychiatrists and blah, blah, blah. And I'd been put on Prozac and all sorts of things. And it just, none of it really worked for me. And I was finally at a stage, I think, where I was ready to find the right kind of help, because this had been going on for many, many years. And at the end of the conversation, I just knew she was the one that needed to start me. You know, she was the one. And I said to her, when's your birthday? And I don't know why I even asked her that, but I knew the answer before she even gave it to me. And it was the same day as mine, obviously a few years apart, but we had the same birthday. And I just knew the answer came into my head before I'd even, you know, finished asking the question. And I said, you have to help me. You're the one. Like, do you do private sessions and stuff? And she said, yeah. And I remember going to her house and we had a long, 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 long talk. We were talking for about 2 hours, I think. And then she did this journeying for me. And I think she was the first person that truly, well, because I was ready as well, right?
Mm-hmm,
it was the first relationship, healing relationship I had that really helped me start to heal.
Right on.
Yeah.
What a graceful walk into recovery, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was what, 21, something like that.
Oh my God. That was a long time ago.
Thanks. Not that long ago. I haven't hit 40 yet. It was 20 years ago.
Well, I mean, when you get to be my age, that's a long time ago. I guess it's not that long ago, is it?
In the grand scheme of things.
Well, no, that's, you know, it's interesting how those people come in. And is she still part of your life? Is she still part of your journey? Do you guys still?
No.
Okay.
No.
So that was for a reason, right?
You know, I think we did a couple of sessions together. We may have stayed in touch for a little while, but no, not beyond that.
Right on. See, I've got folks that have had big impressions, and the person I would have to say, and she's going to be, I'm going to be talking to her about coming on the show. We've talked about this before, but her name is Karen, and she is probably the biggest or the catalyst for the way that I changed and the deconstruction, right? The total obliteration. Well, yeah, a lot of obliteration of the old ways of thinking, ways of being, ways of acting and moving through life. And it's funny, I met her on a Craigslist ad. I had gotten off the road with the Lipizzans, moved back to the Portland, Vancouver area. I was working for Underwriters Laboratories at the time, which in your country, that probably doesn't mean a lot. In the United States and in Canada, anything that comes in from China has got this UL sticker on it, right? That tells us that it's electrically safe. So anyway, I was working there, working with some other folks and living with one of the gals that I live with, or with one of the gals that I worked with in her garage. It was made over to a room, right? And I had my horse and this and that, and her baby daddy, as she called him, was a homophobic guy. And he had started becoming more and more problematic for me. And so I had started feeling that I needed to try to maybe find some place to live, right? That was that I felt safer. And because he made it quite clear that he didn't want me there around his children. And I was like, okay, fine, I need to start looking for a place. Well, I found a place, and I put an ad up on Craigslist saying, guy that is practicing Buddhist, looking for a home to stay that's quiet, safe, blah, 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 right? Karen happens to reply. And I go over and I meet her, and there is, the place is clean. I'm like, right on, because that for me is a big thing. It was tidy and lots of room, great area. And I'm like, cool, this will work. And there was this candle thing on her fireplace, right? This candlestick holder on her fireplace that had all the rainbow colors. And I thought, oh, she's a lesbian. And I'm like, oh wow, a clean lesbian. No, I'm teasing. I'm like, that's amazing. And I'm like, well, I said, I've never lived with a lesbian before. I says, but I think I can give it a go. And she looked at me, she goes, excuse me, honey? And I says, well, the candle. She goes, oh sweetheart, that's the first time I heard the oh sweetheart. She goes, those are the colors of the chakra, sweetheart. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, she goes, I thought you said in your ad that you were a practicing Buddhist, and da, da, da. And I'm like, well, yeah, I've read a couple books. So that was my introduction to Karen. And Karen first, she taught me, the first initial shocking, absolutely gut-wrenching lesson that she taught me was about boundaries. Because I had decided at that moment, yeah, I'm ready to move in, but I didn't have the money to pay even for deposit at that point. And she says, well, when you get the money, give it to me and you can move in. Well, that night I had gone back to where I was staying and the boyfriend got drunk with a couple of his other buddies, broke down the room to my bedroom, the door to my bedroom, and proceeded to beat me up. And with a couple bats and this and that, it was the first federally prosecuted hate crime in Clark County, in Washington, where I lived. And so anyway, I was bruised. I was a mess. And, so I went back to her the next day and I'm like, listen, this is what happened, you know, and you could see the bruises on my body. Right. And she's like, did you call the police? I'm like, no, it's not going to do any good. You know, they're not going to do anything. You know, it's freaking the Hicks, they're not going to care, right? And you know, no, I'm not going to create any more problems for myself because this guy's bad news, right? I just want to get the hell out of there. And she goes, well, do you have the money? And I was like, you got to be kidding me. You can see, right? She goes, well, I told you, honey, you can move in once you have the money. So it was my first lesson in boundaries. And it was hard one, but I got the money that day from my best friend Kim. Her parents gave me the money to get moved in, right? And so I got moved in, and thus began the journey of the journey of recovery, right? Because she was hard on me when she needed to be. I need to retract that. She wasn't hard on me. She maintained her boundaries, which was hard for me.
Yeah. Completely different story,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's put that in perspective here. Yeah. Because I hadn't experienced that before in such a way that was compassionate.
Right.
That was done without anger, that was done without any kind of just what was expected. And so it was a really amazing, and it wasn't 2 months later that I was in my first Codependence Anonymous meeting. Because she's like, honey, you've got some issues, I think.
No shit, Sherlock.
Yeah. And she worked with people downstairs of the place that we lived in, because that's what she did for a living, was a codependency counselor. And she did all sorts of recovery work for the state and this and that. And, you know, she herself had been in recovery for more than 30 years at that point and has got an amazing story behind that. And she is the most powerful person that I know. She is a recognized Lakota medicine woman. She does sweat lodges. She does fire walks. She was my Reiki master. She was my healing touch practitioner teacher. Absolutely amazing. She's dabbled in hypnosis. You know what, if there's an alternative approach and it's something that feels good to her, then she incorporates it. Right. And she's one of the most well-rounded people that I know spiritually, as far as understanding and being able to guide and accept. And so, yeah, she's going to be a lot of fun to have on the show. I think you're going to like her. She taught me about Carolyn Mace. She taught me about Eckhart Tolle. She's the one who opened my eyes to all of those people and really helped me to begin my journey.
Nice. Yeah. I look forward to meeting her and having her on the show.
Yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bringing me on to the next person that I suppose this is kind of a shout out, right? To people that have impacted us. The next one is for me is somebody that I met when I was traveling in Australia. So when I finished university, I broke up from my boyfriend at the time. And I was like, right, sod this. I'm going around the world on my own. I'm just buying got a backpack and a one-way ticket to Australia with a stopover in Asia for as long as I want. I will see you all later. Goodbye. So I just kind of picked up and went off on my own, stayed in Asia for, I don't know, 4 months or something like that. And then I went on to Australia. And I ended up nearly running out of money and then eventually managed to get a job in a bar, kind of a bar club, as a bartender. And like within the first few shifts, I met this girl who was working there. She was gorgeous, like really gorgeous. And we were working the bar together, and she was normally really kind of possessive over her bar. She would like really like a real kind of cat, like, this is my bar, you know? But we just had this real kind of synergy when we were working together. And she turned around to me and she said, "Oh, you're a Leo, aren't you?" And I was like, "What? How do you know that?" And she was like, "Oh, I can tell. It's so obvious." I was like, "Oh, okay." And then we just really hit it off after that. And she would just send me notes with the waiters. If I was working on another bar, she'd send me these like little love notes and stuff like, "Oh my God, you're amazing. You're beautiful." You know, just kind of constantly bombard me with just love and stuff. And I was like, "What is going on? You know, what, why?" I didn't understand it. You know, I was just like, why? She doesn't want anything. She's not asking for anything. She's not trying to get in my pants or anything. Do you know, like, there was just, I just didn't understand it. I really didn't understand it. And it took me a while to break down that barrier and just be like, well, maybe she actually means it. You know, like, maybe this is genuine. And I remember it taking a little while for that kind of idea to create a crack and to seep through. And eventually I was just like, I'm just going to take this as like genuine, like a genuine kind of unconditional love. And we had this just amazing Sorry about that. Could you hear that? Could you hear Benicius talking in the background? You could. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. And we went on to have just this amazing kind of love story, you know, like friendship love. And it was just such a deep, intense love that we had for each other. We, you know, kind of, we went through so much together in such a short amount of time, and so many transitions and so much growth, and really just supported each other in some real kind of deep growth and understanding of things. And then I left Australia, and it was really, really hard when I left, really hard. And yeah. Then she over the years, I mean, Australia's far away. It's not that easy to just jump on a plane and say, "Hey, yeah, I'm just going to come back and visit you." You know, it's like a 24-hour plane ride. Over the years, she then came to visit me in Spain twice. I think she came to visit me in Spain and spent some time with me. And we still touch base every now and again. But she really was and is definitely at the time, she definitely was a guardian angel that was just put in my line of fire to lift me up and help me spread my wings. And I am eternally grateful to her.
Right on. I'm trying to think. Karen was it for me. Karen was the most important person. Other people have been important as far as lessons, but they're not people that I want to give shout outs to, right? It's like they're the people who created the agony, helped me to experience the agony of defeat, and, you know, in some instances and that sort of stuff. So do they deserve shout outs? No, they deserve recognition and, you know, awareness to make sure I don't step into that shit again. But let me see, anybody else that has really helped guide me towards. Yeah, I would have to say, and you know her, Stephanie Skiba is one of those. Stephanie is one of those folks that I can talk to, and she can kind of help change. She's helped to change some perspectives for me, or some things like that before with me. When I've talked, Karen Hand, you've met her. There's people in the industry recently that have made significant changes in my life. Karen Hand really grabbed a hold of me early on and kind of helped me to see the direction that I wanted to go, and was very supportive in that. And she's been there ever since the start of my hypnosis journey. A lot of people in the hypnosis industry, I've got to say, have been really important as far as how I've moved forward with my business practices, you know, and how I want to be perceived as far as how I offer things and how I work and that sort of stuff. There's been a lot of people in the hypnosis industry that have been, you know, fairly impactful in that area, but that's more of a business sort of thing. Yeah, on a personal level, still gets back to there's no one in the hypnosis. It's just constantly wanting to, you know, that drive I've always had to better myself, right? And you know, it's not that there weren't people before Karen that were there. I had my boyfriend Eric when I was in DC. What a great inspiration he was. Right. I mean, he's the inspiration behind the volunteer work that I do. Right. And I do volunteer work up at the senior center and I love it. And I would never have really understood the enjoyment of that. Well, yes, I would have. I volunteered at the Special Olympics when I was in my 20s, whenever I could. I've always liked helping other people. Right. But Eric was an inspiration later in my life. To pick that back up again and you know, to recognize the importance of those that have the ability should go out and help those that don't. Whether it's something like Meals on Wheels or just going like I do at the senior center, helping to set up for a dinner, serving meals to people, you know, they're so grateful for it.
Yeah.
And it's nice to do. And I don't know any of these people, and I probably won't get to know any of them. It's not like I sit and talk to them, but I'm there to serve, right? And I want them to feel like I am there to wait on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did a few years in the UK and at Christmas and New Year, there's a charity called Crisis. And they set up, it's for homeless people. And they set up like big kind of places and spaces where they can stay for a couple of weeks and get, you know, clothes and have a shower and have a massage and have their nails done or their hair cut, or, you know, people come and volunteer all kinds of different skills that they have to offer. And yeah, I used to love doing that, you know, being able to, I remember meeting some amazing people as well, just incredible people, and hearing their stories. And I just found it really, really fascinating. And I guess the resilience that people have is really amazing, but also the kind of
when you say the amount of resiliency, I think that there's confusion. They have the ability to survive. Resiliency in my mind means the ability to fall down and pick yourself back up and keep going. People that have fallen down, and these, and I am not judging in any way, in a negative way, because I feel for the homeless. It's one of the things that pulls at my heart more than anything else. But they have a lack of resiliency. They need to work on their resiliency, not their ability to survive, right? Resiliency is the ability to get stretch back, to bend back to where you were, right? Where we were was not homeless. So they don't have resiliency. It's what we need to help them. It's what we need to instill in them, is that ability to build that back up. That's just the way that I look at it.
No, and I take your point. I totally take your point. But I think I can think of loads of other people that have stepped into my path and you know, just really literally been guardian angels and just brought me so much in the time that we've known. I can think of somebody else that I met. I can't remember now where we met. We met on a permaculture course, I think it was. And he, for me, again, we just had this really kind of profound love for each other. And I always just imagined him kind of standing behind me with these giant angel wings, just kind of like protecting me, you know, kind of like
right on.
Putting these giant angel wings around me. And I always just had that feeling when he was around, that he was just kind of sent from the heavens to protect me. And yeah, and yeah, just, yeah.
Right on.
Just, yeah, an incredible sense of love and protection. We haven't spoken for a very long time, but for years and years, we would randomly meet up or write letters to each other. Yeah, and I feel very grateful to have experienced such profound love with other humans, and not the kind of traditional kind of love that we think about, where it has to be a relationship, or it has to be
right
sexual, right, or it has right, to be right. Something, you know, more charged than what it is. It just, these kinds of relationships that I'm talking about have always felt so much on a completely different level, you know, like completely transcend our regular ideas of what love is.
Because it's like someone, one of our podcast listeners who is someone that I know here in Seattle, she said to me, she goes, "You always say that you love her." She goes, "What does her husband think about that?" And I thought,
he doesn't listen to the podcast. He doesn't care.
Well, and I mean, but even if he did, you know, I mean, it's like when I said, you know, I'm going to take Nicole away and go on the Amazing Race with her, you know, he's like, okay, when are you leaving? Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's why should he consider that a threat? Right. Not only because, I mean, just who I am, but I mean, you can love people without it being
I think the difference here is that we have I'm talking about me and my husband, we have a very open, honest relationship in that sense, where we always made a pact from the very beginning that we would talk about everything, no matter how uncomfortable, we would talk about everything. And we've gone through different ways of doing that, different techniques of doing that, because sometimes it's difficult and sometimes it's been writing on the mirror how we feel, or having conversations as it like in third person and things like that. But we have maintained that pact that we would always talk about the things, everything really. And that generates and has generated an immense amount of trust in our relationship. There is neither of us feel the need to ever lie to the other one about right. anything, right? So I would have no problem with him having my phone for just taking my phone and doing whatever he wants with it, take it away with him, looking through every single message, looking through every single post or whatever it is. I would have no problem with him doing that.
Right.
And I think, you know, I've seen stuff like that before. You know, would you trust your partner with your phone? You can take it. I don't care. Do you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, what are you hiding? Why would you?
Yeah.
What is on? I've never understood why. Yeah. Anyway. People are weird.
But that's it. I think difficult conversations. And also having that awareness of, look, if we're going to go on this journey together, things are going to be uncomfortable sometimes, right? We're we're going to wind each other up. We're going to do things that we maybe regret it. We maybe regret, but as long as we have an open dialogue about it and we can talk about it, we're always giving the other person the opportunity and the fair chance to evaluate the situation, evaluate how they feel about it, and then make a decision based on that. But right. if you're hiding stuff from your partner, you're never giving them the opportunity or the chance to make a fair evaluation and decision right. based on that.
And then, you are so right. And I think of so many examples of people that I have worked with where in situations during that sort of an exchange, things are brought up from the past. Well, you did, blah, blah, blah. Well, and it's like, okay, when do you let that go?
Mm.
And, right. you know, if you hadn't, or they'll say, well, the reason I didn't tell you was because how I knew you would react.
You didn't even give me the chance to react.
Right. Well, of course I'm going to be upset, you know, but that doesn't mean that there's anything. It's interesting how people, and I think that this happens in a lot of relationships that where the communication is a challenge, where one person has been, where they have been taught to ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
Mm.
Right? I think where people have been taught to ask for forgiveness instead of permission, or where that's their attitude, those are the ones that you're going to find will hide more things. Right. Because it's well, I tend to believe that those people will hide more because
I have to give a shout out here to Marissa Peer, because one of the books that we both read early on in our relationship, we read a lot of self-development books and we went through all sorts of kind of courses and things. We did a program called The Life Book, which definitely did change my life at the time, our lives. It definitely gave us a push to change and make big changes in our lives. And Marissa Peer's book, Ultimate Confidence, I think it was, that was where we got a number of ideas from and really helpful things. I really enjoyed that book and I really recommend it. I haven't read it for a long time. I remember reading it at the time and it giving me a lot that I needed. And she talks about that as well. She talks about relationships, how people hold grudges and bring stuff up from the past and throw stuff back in people's faces. And it's the worst thing that you can do in a relationship. Right. You deal with it in the moment and then you move on. You can't, you know, if you're not prepared to move on, then it's not dealt with.
Right.
You can't throw it back in someone's face as ammunition. I was watching recently someone I really love, and I know Americans will probably have some controversial responses to this. I really rate Hillary Clinton, and she has written a book with her daughter called Gutsy Women. And it's a really, really lovely book. And it's all about stories about gutsy women in all different areas, you know, in sports, in politics, in activism, in history, in medicine. It's a brilliant book. I really enjoyed it. And they've made a series on Apple TV about it, where they go around and they talk to different women and share their stories. And in one of the episodes, she's talking to a woman, I can't remember who it was, and they start talking about Hillary's experience with Bill when everything came out about Monica Lewinsky and her deciding to stay in the marriage. Mm-hmm. And you know, the woman was saying, I remember to Hillary, I remember you saying that one of the gutsiest things you ever did was stay in the marriage. And she said, yeah. And she said, look, that wouldn't have been the right choice for everyone. She said, and getting to that decision was like, you know, was going through hell. It was incredibly painful. But once I reached the decision and made the decision, then, you know, we could move on. But until she'd made that decision, but yeah, that's the whole point. She went through all of her kind of everything she needed to go through to get to a decision that she felt was the right one for her.
Right.
And they managed to work through it together.
Yep. And that's the only way people ever make it through that sort of thing. And you have to be able to, no matter what kind of thing they've done, you have to be able to move beyond that without the need or the desire or the temptation to ever bring that up. Mm-hmm. As punishment, as a flag in somebody's face or anything else. It is not to be used like that. Once it is, and it's, that's not saying that it is to be forgotten, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you always, you know, that can always be there, but the pain doesn't need to be there. The resentment doesn't need to be there. The awareness needs to be there, right? And I don't even think that that's always necessarily true when it comes to a partner that's wronged you over someone outside of your intimate circle that's wronged you, right? When it's outside of your intimate circle, I think it's always best to really keep aware of what those people are doing, because there is the possibility that they're going to do it again, right? In that more intimate sort of setting like that, you've got to be able to let that shit go if you're going to have a healthy relationship moving forward.
Yeah. And it's when you're having these conversations, especially when something like that's happened, rather than "you did this to me," it's "your actions have led me to feel this way, that way. I feel hurt. I feel angry. I feel frustrated.
Because
I feel
you
disappointed."
Did this. Right. Because
it's not about "you did this.
I feel this."
Yeah.
That's nonviolent communication 101.
Right. Right. Yeah. But it's really important. It's really important in a relationship. This is how I'm feeling right now. You know, this is what I can tell you is going on for me right now as a result of something that this thing that's happened. This is what it's bringing up for me, right? These are the wounds that
I've opened. I felt this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this feeling. Help me understand why you did this, you dumbass. Tell me how I can have a different experience with this, please.
but it is a completely different, you do get a completely different response, because rather than just blaming someone and they feel attacked, so they either shut down or attack back, right? You're just exposing yourself. You're exposing your vulnerability. And if that person genuinely gives a shit... If that person genuinely gives a shit, that will then soften them to say, "Oh, I see now. I really see what my actions, you know, where that was problematic, or not even, you know, I have the ability to recognize that was problematic, but now I'm really seeing the consequences on somebody that I really care about." And that's a much bigger impact than you saying, "You asshole, you know, you did this, that, and the other, and I hate you," and blah, blah, blah. And then just getting into this, you know, kind of shit throwing match.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's NVC. That's another thing that I learned from Karen. Mm-hmm. was the NVC stuff. When she comes on the show, I think that I've told you this since I've met you. You're going to fall in love. And again, we talk about reason, season, or lifetime, right?
Yeah.
She's been a lifetime for me. And there are times that we haven't spoken for months and months and months. But as soon as we get together, it's like there has been absolutely no change whatsoever. And that's always a nice experience. Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's nice to have the validation from her when I have these wins and she's like, "You know what? Good work. Coming from where you came from, holy crap." So it's, you know, it's yeah, we owe those people in our lives a lot of respect. You know, like I said, even the ones that some of the most painful things in life taught me some of the most important lessons, you know, mm-hmm. about forgiveness and about boundaries.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a tough thing for people. Boundaries is a really tough thing for people. Right.
Sure.
So that's how I'm starting my new year.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's absolutely beautiful here. Right? It's not raining, so it's nice.
Yeah, it's been pissing with rain here today.
I know that it is your wonderful hubby's birthday, and
It
so
is.
I'm going to let you go so you can spend some time with him.
Thank you.
And we're
Thank
going
you.
to talk to some wonderful people here soon, and we're going
Yes.
to have a great year.
Yeah, we've got some cool guests lined up already. So
Yeah.
exciting
Woo!
times. Cool. All right.
Right,
Take
sweetheart.
care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.